Welcome to another edition of The Exhibitionists.
Yay!
Yeah, well, how are you, Steph? Where have you been?
Steph's been traveling. This particular episode, I had a chance to speak with Gary Corin, Damien Angus, and Christopher McEwen with the Montgomery Group. They're a global private company, family-owned business.
Fearless
Generation
as hell.
Three. Yes, and they are fearless. I am in awe of these people. We caught up at the UFI Global Congress in Bangkok, of all places. Beautiful city.
And it's sent through from Chris McEwen's office. He's just moved to Singapore. Is that right?
Yeah, he had the 1 hour flight. I had the 31 hours door to door. And I'm really not crying a river because it was Bangkok and Thailand are pretty incredible. I highly recommend them. But the Congress was great. There were over 550 people from over 50 countries. And hearing all the languages being spoken all over the place was pretty amazing.
What was the theme this year? It had a name. It was
Issues of Trust. It was about trust.
Platforms of trust.
Sorry, Kai's going to kill me. But platforms of trust, and it was great. It was a really good conference, and I was able to have a bunch of different interviews with people that we'll be letting out bit by bit, dribble by dribble.
But to start with, it's this issue, and we wanted to focus, I guess, the key element of speaking to these three guys is the variety in the markets they operate in. And
yes.
And that really comes through in this conversation. So without further ado, we'd like to leave the floor to Steph, Damien, Chris, and of course, Gary.
Stephanie here at the UFI Global Congress in beautiful Bangkok, where we're indoors enjoying the air conditioning because it's really hot and humid outside. And I'm with some friends from Montgomery, the Montgomery Group and Montgomery Exhibitions. So I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves real quick.
Damien Angus, Group Managing Director of Montgomery, or what is now the Montgomery Group, newly rebranded.
Newly rebranded, yay.
Very exciting about that.
Woo-hoo. Out of the UK.
Out of London.
And an airplane.
loving being in Bangkok. And that's great.
And I'm Chris McEwen. I'm the Managing Director of Montgomery Group's Asian business, Montgomery Asia. Also living my life on a plane and trying to set up a new business for us over the last 2 or 3 years in Asia, based out of Singapore.
Beautiful Singapore.
Lovely, hot, gorgeous Singapore.
And last...
I'm Gary Corin, Managing Director of Montgomery's South African business, based in Johannesburg. So it's really, really cool to be in Bangkok and to meet with a lot of our friends and family.
And family, yeah, absolutely. So you're one of the privately held family businesses that's gone around the world, and there's a lot of challenges to that. You do a lot of shows in Africa. Right? What countries?
So in Africa, Africa is probably about a third of our business. So South Africa, where we've been for over 50 years now, so very well established, and adore being down there on the tip of Africa. From there, we've gone into Botswana, Zambia. So we run all of that out of our South African office. And then more recently, in the last decade, we've headed up to Nigeria, which has got, as you can imagine, a fair amount of challenges, but also excitements, and then across to the East Coast to Kenya. And we use those three countries really as hubs to then run shows in those regions.
Wow. So. What would you say one of the biggest challenges are? Oop, somebody walking in on us. What would you say, Gary, that, like, what are the, you know, in terms of bringing, you know, you've got your own vibrant industry. Obviously, Africa is, 40 plus countries and millions of people. What do you find to be one of the biggest challenges in terms of, you know, launching and doing shows?
The challenges in Africa specifically are actually quite varied. it starts really with infrastructure. You've got varying degrees of infrastructure in different African countries. In the SADC region, which is where we're most active in Botswana and Zambia, some good basic infrastructure. But for example, in the Zambian market, that we've done 6 or 7 shows in Zambia, but we've taken those shows into a region called Kitwe, which is the copper belt, which is where the mines are specifically. And there's virtually zero infrastructure. You have to build your own venue, you put up a marquee, you bring in generators, you bring in ablution facilities, all of those aspects, you actually create the venue yourself.
Wow. Now, for everybody that bitches about their convention centers, seriously?
slightly
take,
different.
You know, take a hard look at what other people do to run their shows.
Absolutely.
And shush.
Well, Damien came to see the one show, and in the marquee itself, you've got some first world technology pumps, mining solutions. But the first stand that he came across, there were live chickens.
oh my God! So,
expect the unexpected in Africa.
You know,
never dull.
So. But then, you know, to give you an example, that's the polar opposite to that. You go into Gaborone, and we've just done our fourth show there in a two-year cycle, so that's over an eight-year period. And there's a first-class facility there with access, a venue that's 5,000 square meters gross, zero pillars. It's got floor loading capacity. It's got ventilation. It's got access.
It's got indoor plumbing and everything.
It's got absolutely, and in fact, the venue provides the infrastructural services like carpets and shell scheme and those sorts of solutions. So, it is very varied depending on where you go on the African continent.
So you have to have an adaptable team.
Yeah,
and a can-do attitude, I would think.
Very much so, and then of course the people aspect changes, and I mean that's worth a conversation in its own right.
Yeah, it is, it is. And so, Christopher, you just moved, I mean, with your family, to start up a whole new division in Singapore, which has incredible venues, and is an amazing place, and you know it's got everything, and it's got to be a little bit of a challenge because there is competition in the region.
Competition is an understatement, yeah. And the opportunity in Asia, Southeast Asia, or North China, or wherever it might be, some of the venues are so unbelievably advanced, and the systems are advanced. Singapore is unbelievably westernized for Asia compared to the likes of, you know, parts of Thailand, parts of Vietnam, or Cambodia, or Laos, or if you, you know, wanted to launch like some brave people have done in Myanmar, and you know it's just so varied, and Singapore's this wonderful melting pot of cultures of extreme just people that have just traveled distances from all over the world but actually stay, create businesses, create new wealth, create new innovation, new ideas. So Singapore's a perfect place for events. But yes,
yeah,
there were certain people that set events up in the 70s and 80s. We were one of those innovators. And that events market has grown and grown and grown. And now Southeast Asia is just this
booming,
enormous exhibition market. And I think people think, therefore, it's saturated and there's no opportunity. But Montgomery Group certainly don't see that. We see huge opportunity. We might have to find a few clever niches. If you hear of any, let me know. No. but there's absolutely still opportunity for us and for lots more people.
That's great. What would you say is probably the biggest challenge with setting up the office and launching shows? I mean, launching shows is always hard.
I think so. Launching shows should never be underestimated. I'm sure many of the people listening to your podcast know it well. But it's not easy, and I think people come in with a title of managing director, and people forget that at the beginning you may pay the salaries, but you're also the tea boy, and
yes,
you've got to do everything from start to finish. Find that registration company, find the hall, do the negotiation with the government, invite a minister, but also, you know, where do you get data from? What magazines? It's every hour that God sends to try and work that out, and there's no magic solution. You just got to do everything and meet everybody. And the biggest challenge in launching events is chicken and egg. You're desperate for that association support. You're desperate for the first national pavilion. You're desperate for international embassies to support you, to give that letter of support, to give funding. You just don't know which one you're going to get first. So you need all of it. You've got to go for all of it. All
and it
the
is
same
a gamble.
It's, of course it is.
It is always a gamble.
And you need, you know, luckily Montgomery Group put a bit of trusting me to do that. But also we work, you know, it's a family company. We work closely together and we help each other. That's how it works. We're based all over the world, and we can genuinely give intellectual input to new ideas.
And I think that's the power of really a family business, as well as the fact that everybody has a can-do attitude, and that people are not necessarily just siloed. And in fact, you don't want people just doing marketing or doing sales, or, well, sales, we always like sales. But I think it's important because a lot of the big companies and the big, for-profit companies talk about, you talk to people and they're just siloed in one area and there is no cross-training. And I think that's a mistake, because you need people who, when I had employees and I had two offices around in Mexico and in the U.S., it was, if somebody said, that's not my job, well, there's the door.
Yeah, so true. I mean, we spend a huge amount of time trying to get the heads of our different businesses together and talking and communicating. Singapore might be very different from South Africa, but in terms of culture and territory, but actually the problems of running shows can be very similar.
Yeah.
And again, how we deal with our teams and how we develop our culture and spirit is something we all work together for.
Maybe I can chip in there as well. Damien has cultivated over the last decade or so an enhanced dialogue between the different businesses within the group. And just to illustrate how that has taken on a new phase in terms of business development, we're partnering with AfriSet, which is the team that looks after East and West Africa, and we're launching into Ghana.
Wow.
The South African companies are interested in looking at the Ghanaian market. We're talking to the South African DTR, Department of Trade and Industry, who will hopefully, we'll know by the end of November, support a pavilion that's going to go up there. Yet on the ground, activities are being conducted by the Montgomery team that are based up there. So, we're integrating those efforts, and that comes through a process of collaboration and the stimulation of that conversation between all the different components that make up the Montgomery group.
And I bet it's nice just to be able to call up and go, oh my God.
And
talk me down, yeah. Talk me down off the ledge. Who's awake at this hour I can talk to? Because obviously, that's got to be a challenge as well with the time zones being just so vastly different.
It is, and we've got three launch shows coming out of Singapore at the moment. They've all got go, no go dates sort of coming up towards the end of this year. But there are six of those across the group. So everyone's coming up to a deadline, everyone's sharing where they've got to in the process. So it's sharing the good and the bad.
I mean, it's a bit humorous, but we were on the way to Gaborone, and we fielded a phone call from George from the AfriSet component of Montgomery. And the first thing we had to clarify is firstly where we were in the tip of Africa, and then whether he was in East or West Africa or in the London office. In the end, it didn't matter because we, via the beauty of technology and WhatsApp, we ended up chatting anyway. But it was just where are you in the world at the moment,
Yes. But also we've created this fantastic culture of ideas coming. It's a non-hierarchical based business where really genuinely anyone can put their ideas forward, and that sounds like one of those things just people say because it's quite nice to write down in your board report. But it actually, the culture has
it does make a difference, and it makes you look forward to going to work every day.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
It's fun. We work hard, we play hard.
Absolutely.
And it's a fun culture where we help each other,
which is great. And you're always looking for marketing people, it seems like.
we're looking. To be honest, we're looking for good people. In everything.
In everything.
From any background, we just like working with good people.
If they show up to work and are trainable, let's take them, right?
I think that's crucial. We've actually taken that on as a... We don't formalize these policies, but
right.
It's a preferred approach. Taking in youngsters, new graduates, just young, talented people and training them. And we're finding that... we had a youngster fresh out of varsity. He joined us as a temporary employee in the marketing department. He's now one of our top sales guys and one of our top earners. So that is what is possible. And he's a youngster. He started with us. He was 22. He's now about 26, 27, and he's really going into the prime of his career, and you know, he's a Montgomery man. He, you know, and he's passionate about what he does, and that's the kind of philosophy that we're trying to develop within the business.
Absolutely. And now you're coming back into the US.
Yes, US plans. So hopefully in the next 2 or 3 weeks we should have news of new launches. I mean, we were there sort of throughout the 1980s and had a relatively torrid time.
Yes.
A few successes, but a lot of difficulties.
Yeah.
And again, more recently with our Photo Fairs brand. So very much looking forward to seeing what we can do and working with partners, obviously, there on the ground. And,
yeah, I think
that'd be a nice market to conquer. So.
It would be, huh? Well, just give us a piece. Yeah. Give us a piece. So in terms of, you know, because you do international, and I've done international, you know, I think part of one of the things that you really have to recommend to people is that you have to show your commitment to staying there in the good times and in the bad times. And you can't just run away the first time there's a recession or things go a little wonky with the government. I mean, it's... That's probably one of the hardest things to do, I would imagine.
It is, but I think especially as a privately owned, family-owned business, you know, we don't have shareholders who are calling us to account. You know, we can decide how long we want to be there, and we do probably spend a lot more time in places and give things a lot more opportunity, whereas... You know, a PLC or a private equity-owned business, you know, they need their returns very quickly, and if it's not working, they move on.
And they're out. Yeah.
Oh, I can say we testament to that on the tip of Africa. There, I mean, Montgomery's been there for 50 years. They saw out the end of apartheid, the change of the country to a democracy. You know, some of the economic challenges that have come with those changes and regimes, for want of a better term. And through all of that, Montgomery have been there. And I mean, we've just been through a period of some of our best financial success.
Yay, so, we love that.
Yay,
making
a
profit.
50
years later.
Africa is a long way.
But there you go. And you talk about thinking global but acting local. Our entire office are local South Africans. Regardless of race, religion, or creed, and
South Africans and first,
absolutely, you know, we thought we'd be torn between England and South Africa when we played in the Rugby World Cup final. That lasted about 7 minutes of the game, and we became unbridled South Africans. But you know, it really does speak to the level of commitment that's required, and if you're prepared to see it out in the long haul, the kind of successes that you can get.
Absolutely. Any final thoughts?
Well, we'll just keep on going. I mean, we sort of keep launching, keep challenging, and having fun, really.
And that's the key component that I think, you know, part of what show business is and trade shows is having fun and making it fun for the people that come, as well as good business.
Yes,
you know, I think, you know, providing that platform, whether you're building a venue or you're using a, you know, huge, wonderful, you know, very complete place, it doesn't matter. It's still about the experience as well as the business.
And certainly, I know Damien has infused this in the business. It's about passion. It's about doing what you love. You know, I don't feel like I've ever worked a day in my life, but I love what I do. Yeah. And
he wasn't paid to say that.
That's true. You agree, right?
As he passes in potential.
Hell, you know.
No, absolutely. And I think as well for you know, people who are just coming into this industry, I think they look at some companies that have been around for many, many years, and they're wonderful statistics.
Yeah.
But we're just getting started. I mean, there's so much opportunity out there, and we're excited about it, right? I mean, we're really excited about it, you know?
That's fab. About
it. So,
right.
You know, if you're getting into the events world, it is just fabulous.
It is. It's hard, though.
It's very hard. Yeah.
But
and if you've got to roll, you've got to be prepared to just roll up your sleeves.
And
that's the best bit.
Yeah. That is if you're prepared to do that, then the rewards will come.
Yeah, and there's something about, you know, when you start a show and it's an idea, and then you see this whole basically mini city that now exists because of an idea in somebody's head, there is no better feeling.
Yeah.
There really isn't.
Well, some of our team still talk about post-show blues. It's when you take that city down.
So true.
Yeah.
They actually feel a sense of loss.
Yep.
And you can't do that, and you won't experience that unless you go through that journey of putting it together.
Absolutely. I used to sometimes, you know, cry after a show, and then it switched to, wait, I'm gonna go to a resort and drink for a couple of days and sleep.
Let's celebrate.
And it's like, yes, another one in the can. Yay, we did it. And there is that satisfaction, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris and Damien and Gary, thank you very much. And let's go enjoy some Thai hospitality.
Yeah, this is what we're doing. Thanks, dude.
They are always good value, and it is a completely colourful, crazy world that they inhabit. I mean, just to put it in context, and this is a little stat I looked up specifically for you, Steph.
Okay, good.
Liberia, sure. Where Gary, I don't know if they have any business in Liberia, but Liberia has a population of 5 million, and Singapore has a population of 5 million. But Liberia has a GDP of 2.15 billion, and Singapore, 324 billion. So how you take the company culture and employ it in two such completely different marketplaces, one with the too many venues.
Pretty amazing, isn't
enough.
It?
Well, it is, isn't it? And
it is pretty amazing. And then if you think about it, like Nigeria has, what, 200 million plus people?
Yeah.
And for example, Clarion, which now has, with the backing of Blackstone, is now the third largest exhibition organizer in the world. You know, they're running shows all over as well. And it's just mind-blowing to me to, you know, we always think about Nigeria and getting those emails and stuff, and we don't think about the fact they've got a pretty robust economy. So it is pretty fascinating.
And Chris, I mean, that was one story Chris always told me. I always remember the story because he said the most expensive venue in the world at one point was in Lagos in Nigeria because it was the only place that had air conditioning and the sort of mod cons you expect from a modern venue. And he said at that point they could charge anything they want. There's such a need for infrastructure, and as Damien alluded to it there, that's what we're really waiting for. But the people who are there now, like Montgomery, do you say they've been there since apartheid? You know, they've stuck to it, and they're looking to make their mark.
Oh, with the whole African market, they've invested in venues and all kinds of things. So the other interesting thing I had to that I want to point out to all of our exhibition friends that are suppliers and organizers is, if you're not having to build the venue from the scratch, you know, from the ground up and have chickens running around, don't complain. If you've got running water and a roof over your head with air conditioning and heating, really, you know, take a step back and be grateful.
Absolutely. Any place to meet is the right place if it's in the right place.
Yeah. And the UFI Congress itself was pretty interesting. There were over 550 people there from over 50 countries. So one of my favorite things was just wandering around the halls and in the sessions, just hearing the variety of languages. Everything's done in English, which is the language of business in the world, but it was just amazing.
Good. Well, it'll introduce you to people like this. That brings us to the end of another edition of The Exhibitionists. We'd like to thank, I'm speaking on both of us here, but I guarantee we'd like to thank Damien Angus, Christopher McEwen, and Gary Corrin for their wonderful input.
Definitely. Got to thank the guys for giving us some time.
And of course, as ever, if you'd like to get in touch with us, then Steph's available at
internationaltradeinformation.com.
And I'm available on Archimedia or wheremarketsmeet.co.uk. I've launched a new website. So there's a little plug for that.
And also, if you liked what you heard, please pass it along. If you have ideas, please get in touch with us. And again, thanks for listening.